Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I have the inkling that this could be a championship-level defense. I need to see a little more, see him against good teams, but come on, we know the pedigree of the majority of the guys on that defense, right? I think it might be a championship-level defense, and I want to see whether or not the Steelers can provide it enough help. And Bob, when I think about reasons why this team could actually finally win a playoff game, I love Rachel Ray, don't you? What's she doing up there?
I don't know.
Do you
it
like
was over
her?
My shoulder.
Yeah.
I love cooking shows. I could watch
so
them.
So do I.
I always tell my wife, I says, my wife's a great cook, as her mother was. And I basically watch. I don't do much. But as I get older, I want to really get in there and start doing stuff myself, trying to figure out.
It's fun.
And experiment.
I cook at home. Yeah,
I know
cook.
You do. And I want to experiment with stuff because I want to see how these people come up with some of these recipes.
It's
it has to be trial
to
and error, some
yeah.
of it.
She's very believable to me. Anyway. Mm-hmm. That was a quick aside. The mission of this season is to help this defense. Come on. Come on. How many years? And it starts with the quarterback, and that's where we go here, Bob. 412-928-9370. 928-9370. Need to hear from you today because I see the fan base as split between those who are outraged that anybody is complaining about a 2-0 start versus those saying, we've seen these kinds of games before, and they're not going to translate. They're just not against good teams in big games and to actually winning a playoff game. Defense going to get worn down after a while from carrying the load, injury bound to set in at some point, et cetera, et cetera. And quite frankly, they have the more powerful argument right now than the nothing to see here. We're 2-0 and the Ravens are 0-2 and so are the Bengals people. They have the better argument. And I lean toward them for the moment, but I do see possibly a championship-level defense here, Bob.
I don't think there's any question. They've invested in it heavily. They've put a ton of money into some of their best players. They brought in Patrick Queen at 3 years, $42 million, to add to what they already had with Minka's big contract, TJ's big contract. Cam just got a new contract. Highsmith got a lot of money. And there are going to be more to come. But they haven't necessarily invested all that much in this offense for a lot of reasons. And I think still one of the problems that are going to have to be answered here is what they do when people do clamp down on George Pickens.
Yeah.
We haven't seen any really minuscule contributions. And that's mostly, I think, Justin Fields kind of zeroes in on Pickens quite a bit with good reason. He's a special player. But other guys have got to get more involved in this, and they have to scheme George Pickens open more because he's going to face all the top coverage, as he did yesterday, and I thought he was a mismatch for Patrick Surtain, which I didn't see coming necessarily. So these are all challenges for the offense. Offensive line, still got to get better. And I think yesterday in the second half, Joe, you mentioned the disparity in halves. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't move people. As a result, there were no yards, and they
classic
were 0-for-7 on third down.
Classic case of the offense almost ruining a great defensive performance, putting the defense in a bad position, especially in Denver. In Denver, on a hot day, so you have the altitude, you have the heat, you have everything else. What you need to do on offense is protect your defense in the second half by at least holding the ball a little bit. Instead, they get 3 first downs and 62 yards in the entire second half. That's a classic case of harming your own defense and almost costing yourselves a game. Having said that, let's talk about Justin Fields. In the first half, he wasn't good. He was great in the first half. And if it weren't for the Jones disaster that we're going to talk about with a quote at the top of the hour to your own Richie Walsh, if it weren't for that, this dude finishes the first half with a 99-yard touchdown run. One of the best plays you'll see all season in the NFL, the on-the-run dart to Pickens right over the corner's head on the right sideline. He was great in the first half. He did nothing in the second half. So how do we grade out Justin Fields? I mean, in the first half, he had people like Damian Lillard tweeting out, oh, I think I know what the problem was with Justin Fields in Chicago, and it wasn't him. Well, I don't know about that. So what do we make of his performance yesterday and of how he's doing in his run at the top job and how hard he might or might not be making it for Mike Tomlin to go to Russell Wilson when Wilson is healthy? Where does all that stand,
well,
do you think?
For me, it's about just winning first and foremost. Mike Tomlin strikes me as someone who, if things are going well, he's going to stick to it. It happened last year with Mason Rudolph. It led to what, you know, eventually led to the departure of Kenny Pickett. But you still need to do more. I thought I think he's best suited to roll out throw. He has shown he has this ability to throw on the run, moving pockets, do things. And that doesn't mean it has to be all the time, but you need to make it more available to him, because I think a defense is more challenged to follow him. And if there's nothing open as he's doing that, then he can always tuck it away. And we saw again yesterday in that one run that was a potential sack, he turned into 16 yards, part of that 78-yard drive.
Yes.
He can do that. He did it last week in Atlanta. I would give him more freedom to roll and throw. That's just me, because I think he's best suited for that. Sitting in the pocket sometimes, I'm not sure if that's his best asset, and it has to be still developed. So,
well, let me ask you this. He was in the second half, he was 3 for 8 for 16 yards and ran for 1 yard on 4 attempts. The offense disintegrated. I mean, that was Matt Canada stuff. Let me phrase the question to you this way. Going into last week's game against Atlanta, if you had a meter in front of you, 1 to 5, okay? Justin Fields was starting with the little dot on the meter at 3, okay? Mm-hmm. 5 would be he's moving toward replacing Russell Wilson. Going back toward 1 would mean that this is not going well, and of course Wilson's going to get his job back. So you start at 3 going into the Atlanta game. How close to 5 or to 1 are we? Where's that little dot right now, Bob?
It's still at 3 for
me.
Is
it?
It has to be, because the first half took it to 4.5. The second half brought it back to 1.5. So it's back to where it was. And I only have that to go on. That's the only thing we've seen since that game is this game. And that game had a great first half, not so great second half. Now, again, we also had a center, botched snap that could have been disastrous. These are 3 and 2 games counting preseason. You got to iron that stuff out. So I think he's still developing. I still think he needs help in that regard. I would like to see more scheming to get people open. I would like to see the middle of the field more. Okay, you look at the chart from yesterday. While there were indications, there was a slant to George Pickens. There was a slant to Austin. Still very, very infrequently used in the middle of the field.
Great touchdown throw to Mount Washington. That was a great throw.
It was. But I'm glad to see you. That's what I'm talking about, using somebody different in those
situations.
And
Freiermuth got involved.
But you have to use more of that part of the field. And I think against good teams, you're going to have to be forced to do it and figure out ways to get guys through. So
you're still at a 3. There's 2 ways to look at the question, where I think that meter should be and where I think it actually is. I think Mike Tomlin is quite enamored with Justin Fields. And he may have seen enough over these games between the plays that were made against Atlanta and the first half yesterday to where I think that might be moving to 3.5, 4 in Mike Tomlin's mind. I think he's very much in love with the idea of having a running quarterback, of having a guy who can make first downs with his legs, of the potential of long drives and third down conversion rate, which was good in the first week. Great in the first half yesterday, horrible in the second half. I think Mike Tomlin may have seen enough now to push that thing toward a 4. And we hear from Jerry Dulac that Justin's going to get another start next week. Now, I would say he needs to be better if he's going to prevent Wilson from starting the week after that. Let's phrase the question this way. If he continues to play the same, they beat the Chargers, 11-2. But he's 3-0. Is he automatically in for game 4? Even if the offense stalls like it did?
If they continue to win, I got a feeling he's going to be in there. I still do.
Really?
Unless he throws 3 picks and somehow the defense bails him out all 3 times. I mean, it has to be performance-based.
Yeah.
Because I still think Russell Wilson was brought here to be the guy who knows what he's doing going down the field, but also is the guy who doesn't make too many mistakes. He's one of the least intercepted quarterbacks.
I'm so curious to see him play.
I am too.
Are we ever going to see him play in a Steeler uniform? Do you think he's going to start a game?
Just as I would answer
that.
Yes, just okay. As I would answer that question preseason, would Justin Fields play? Well, the answer for me was yes. I didn't know the circumstances.
What if Fields puts two halves together against the Chargers like this first half yesterday? There's zero chance Wilson will be in.
This is a long season. 17 games will dictate change. I mean, you're going to have games that are not going to be anywhere near what they need to be in at that point. We saw it last year when Pickett came in for Trubisky. Was it last year? I can't remember the year. Or no, his first year.
Yeah.
He didn't wait around. He wanted to make a change. I think it will go that way, sort of game to game. I don't think, you know, QB1 on the depth chart is going to remain the same. It's going to say Russell Wilson. So you can read into that whatever you want. But
it still doesn't look like, obviously, in some ways, like I would want an explosive offense to look. And Tomlin told Aditi, I think, before the game yesterday, we need to have more explosion in our offense. It looks like a good running game dedicated to the run, you know. At times, they can eat up a lot of clock, combined with a shot every once in a while, you know, like a spectacular big play from Fields and Pickens. I don't know that gets you there. It doesn't look like, you know, we see one play like that, we're like, oh my God, you know, the best offenses make three of those on a drive. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or two of those on a drive. It doesn't yet look anything like a big play, explosive, real NFL offense that could pop 30 on the Chiefs in a playoff game if need be. Do you know what I mean, Bob?
Yes, and that's a concern. It still is a concern. You can win all you want this way, but ultimately when you go against the big offensive teams in the NFL, you're going to have to match them drive for drive, point for point. And can you answer that question right now and say the Steelers are capable? I don't know that I can. I want to see more evidence before I can say that. At this point, they look a lot like what they've been doing over the last several years.
Where do we put blame on the con artist here? And was his biggest trick fooling us into thinking Brandon Ayuk was coming here?
Well, listen.
Was his biggest trick making the Steelers' receiving core disappear behind George Pickens? Because this is, as you mentioned at the top, this is becoming a glaring issue. Glaring.
It really is, and you will be exposed in time. You can't have this kind of stuff going on. So they've kind of boxed themselves into a corner unless they make some sort of trade to free up somebody who may want out a better type of number two receiver. I mean, that still exists. The trade deadline is something you would have to watch because Omar Khan has done things a little differently under his watch. So if they still
I hear Deontay Johnson might be available after their first two games.
Oh, they are bad. They are really bad. They can't do anything over there, and you know, a lot of people say, well, Deontay Johnson, they should have kept him, could have used him if that was in case, you know, the true situation. You used him in a trade to acquire Ayuk. You know, I don't know if that's a good. What they got back was a player who I thought made me wonder why Carolina was willing to release him, you know, and they were. Dante Jackson looks like a pretty good guy. If you look at his history, he's made big plays in bigger games.
Yeah.
And they needed someone over there, too. So I understood that. But we'll see. I think it's an unwritten story about who will be the number two if there's another receiver coming in, but it will require a trade, and they may make one.
So all of that being said, if the meter started out on a 3 with Justin Fields heading into game one, right in the middle, 1-5, it's 3 because it's neutral. Nothing's happened yet. Moving toward 5, he is absolutely replacing Russell Wilson, even when Wilson's healthy. Or moving back toward 1, there's no chance this guy's going to start when Wilson is healthy. Bob says the meter's still at 3, Wonder Twin. I say the meter is moving toward 4 because I'm trying to think the way Mike Tomlin thinks. I think it's at least trending a little bit in the positive direction because they've won and because he's made some winning plays. You?
I do as well, but it felt like they put the training wheels back on in the second half and they wanted Justin Fields not to lose that game more so than win it. As explosive as they were being with the offense that was negated by penalties so much in the first half. So that does make me wonder if still in the back of Tomlin's mind, and he's communicating with Arthur Smith, we got to make sure that this guy does not turn the football over. And to Fields' credit, he has not in 2 games.
Yeah, I mean.
But that can't be the only badge of honor
Kenny
you have
Pickett.
Here.
That's Kenny Pickett.
If that's how it's going to be.
Point.
You have to not only do that, but you got to move this offense and score and have passing touchdowns.
Yes, so do we
it's
agree?
A 3. Still a 3.
Do we agree they'd be 2-0 if last year's Kenny Pickett was the quarterback?
No, I think they'd lose one of the games.
Hmm.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? an easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the Snacktime MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Interesting. Bob?
Well, as I said, I think there would have been a mistake or two in there, too. And again, you know, the stress factor is here. Don't turn the ball over. Listen, the numbers, and you're right, Mike Tomlin knows how to play this game. And they've done it better than any team in the NFL. One score wins over the last 5 years. So, but when you play this way, you also invite the opposition to remain hanging around. We've seen too many examples of fourth quarter comebacks in the NFL. There's a ton of them every week. And here, you know, if you do that, Denver, for example, still was alive in that game. The way they played the first half, there is no way they should have been an onside kick away from potentially tying the game.
Give Justin
Fields.
And
by the way, what is Sean Payton doing there? Not trying an onside kick?
Not only that.
I mean.
Not only that, on the previous series, you either have to kick the field goal earlier in the series or go for the touchdown on fourth and six because you let that much time waste away. Best case scenario, other than a miracle turnover, is to get the ball back with less than 10 seconds left, needing a miracle touchdown. You might as well go for the touchdown right then.
Right.
And then hope, just
this,
hope you get a field
idea,
goal
I'm
going to
survive and just keep it. Well, you boxed yourself in. You have no choice.
Oh, I love watching him fail.
And his explanation really was rotten, actually. I listened to it. I'm like, come on now.
He did a great job of kicking the field goal at a two-possession game to remain a two-possession game.
That's what I told Hoke about. I said, Chris,
what was he doing there?
You're turning a two-possession game into a two-possession game. You've
exactly.
done nothing.
Yeah, you've
so
done
what?
Nothing.
So what? You've eliminated the chance of being shut out. So what?
He's getting $18 million a year. He said when he came in there that the previous coach, Nathaniel Kent Hackett, had done one of the worst, him and his staff had done one of the worst coaching jobs in the history of the league. Well, Hackett was 4-11. Peyton's now 8-11, but he's 0-2 this year, and he's staring very hard at 0-4, because guess who they play next week? On the road at Tampa, on the road at the Jets. And at that point, he's going to wind up being, what, 8-13. So he will have won 8 out of his first 21 games. His quarterback looks like a bust to
me. He looked bad.
He stinks.
If Justin Fields is a 3 right now, Bo Nix has to be a 1.
Well, Bo Nix is a rookie, too. I think you got to give that
percolate here. Even Ben's first game against Baltimore when he got thrown in was a disaster, but there were some plays where he said, oh, my God, this guy, I can't wait to watch him. Bo Nix stinks. He sacked himself twice, Bob. Did you see him sack himself?
First of all,
I thought Peyton Manning was the only Broncos quarterback who sacked himself.
T.J. Watt barely got a hand on him. He went down.
Same with Highsmith.
Highsmith got less than a hand on him and he went down. I don't know about that. That was bizarre.
I think Sean Payton's the most unlikable coach in the NFL, and I want to see him fail miserably, and I want to see the Broncos have to eat that contract the same way they ate Russell Wilson's. I want to see them paying Sean Payton to coach another team in 2 years.
While Russell Wilson's being paid to run a quarterback
to
hold Denver.
They'll be bankrolling the entire
NFL.
So
Chris and I had a dispute about whether or not that decision to move on from Russell, he thinks it's ownership. I said, no way, it's Sean Payton.
Oh, Sean.
There's no way Sean Payton was given authority to do everything. That was all Sean Payton, how he handled him in-game last year.
He hated Russell Wilson from the day he arrived when he made public comments about his so-called entourage saying, oh, that's not going to happen under me. Tough guy, Sean Payton. He humiliated Wilson on the sidelines by yelling in his face on the sidelines and making a scene of it. I don't think Mike Tomlin has ever done that. Did he ever do that to Ben? Never. You ever see Tomlin up in Ben's face yelling? There's a certain level of respect you have to have for a Hall of Fame quarterback who's done the things that those guys have done.
It makes no sense to me how he, and it was all him. I'm sorry. I disagree with Chris on it. He thought the ownership had to sign off on it, sure. But it was the man who was triggering all this was Sean Payton.
Hokey made a good point on your show yesterday. He said Justin Fields is a much better, you made this today too, Bob, when he's rolling out a much better quarterback, mm-hmm. when he's on the run. Second half, they tried to do too much pocket passing. That doesn't seem to fit his personality. I do agree, but did Fields also play a little bit conservatively? Because I don't think, it's not like all his runs are designed. Some of them are. But I thought that he didn't do a great job of moving around in the pocket or maybe taking off for some runs too in the second half.
Well, that's the difference there. He almost didn't seem like he was interested in running. And again, if you go back to the Atlanta game, the running really was a big asset in converting third downs. Their third down efficiency was good because two specific runs that he made on third down and 5 and 7 turned into first down. So, you know, that's a weapon that he has, and he should be encouraged to use it when he has the opportunity, not
what's
to overuse
what's your
it.
Grade on Fields for yesterday?
I would say B.
Wow.
They won the game, and he didn't make a mistake, and he threw a touchdown pass.
Wonder Twin?
B minus. First half was an A, and especially some of those plays that got negated by penalties where the throw to Pickens was ridiculous. But a B minus because the second half was a C, if that.
The second half was close
terrible.
To an. The only thing that keeps it from an F is that he didn't make a turnover, but the second half was a D minus. The first half was an A. So how does that grade out?
Probably a C or B minus.
Yeah, C or B. It's like the old meter that I presented to you earlier, Bob, where you start on a 3 and either move toward a 5 or back toward
right.
a 1. I start every player at a C going into the game. You have a 2.0 grade point average. Are you going to raise that toward an A? He was an A in the first half. He was great in the first half. Touch passes, fastballs, broken plays. He was great. But the second half, an A, maybe an A plus. What's an A plus and a D minus? Can you figure that out? You go back from the A plus and up from the D minus. You go back from the A plus limits and we'll meet in the middle. You ready? We'll do it verbally.
Yes.
All right. You have an A plus. I have a D minus. I go down to a D.
I go down to an A.
I go down to a C minus.
I go down to an A minus.
I go down to a C.
But you're going up, but I go down to a B plus.
What did I do? I go to a D plus. Yeah.
I go to a B.
I go to a C minus.
I go to a B minus.
I go to a C. So
I go to a C plus.
It's a C.
It's a C.
Bob, did you like that exercise?
I didn't understand any of it.
That
no,
was so
you
much
were throwing
harder
me
than
off.
It should have been.
That stupid meter was going backwards, frontwards, back and forth.
I can't ever figure that out with grades. I can't. I used to teach at Waynesburg where you went, and I would try to figure out what is this kid's grade. What's his grade?
How about this, Bob? Did you know that as soon as I arrived at Waynesburg, Starkey decided to stop teaching there?
I think he had the advanced scouting report on you.
He knew
What was my reputation there?
Very high standards for Mr. Starkey's class.
And we made it fun.
That is what I heard, yes. That's why I was so enamored to take the class. I was pitched on, you'll be able to take a class with Mr. Starkey. Now I get it every day.
Learning on the job, there's nothing better.
Foreshadowing.
We played tinfoil hockey one day, Bob, in the class.
All that tuition money going to this. You're charging people that much to play tinfoil hockey in parents
it was
are paying,
unbelievable.
Jesus.
Well, what you do is underneath the chair was a goal for the little tinfoil ball, and you hit the ball at each other, and then you do breakaways on the goalie. I thought it was instructive and fun.
What did you learn from that, City Limits?
He wasn't
that
in
I'd
class.
Rather have paper football played.
You know who was in my class, Bob?
Hmm.
Bill Hillgrove's grandson,
Jack.
Who does a wonderful
Jack's
job.
A very
He's
talented
good, huh?
young man. Yes, he is.
And he remembers the first day of class. I didn't say anything to the class. Turned off the lights, turned Bob McAdoo highlight film from his Buffalo Braves day. That was it for day one.
Again, tuition money going right down the drain. Hockey and Bob McAdoo, and I'm paying for this?
What are we learning
I'm calling the chancellor.
Hold on a second here. What you're learning is it's sports writing, how important the history of the game is, and we start with Bob McAdoo.
Yeah, and you know what we don't have? Video of Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game. Did it really happen?
Oh, it happened.
Oh, no. Not another conspiracy theory. What do you mean, did it happen?
There's no footage of Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game. There's
Ernie
footage
of
things
was
in
there,
1900,
Bob.
Or in like 1910, there's footage.
Well, just because there's
there.
No footage, I mean, we live in a world now, everything's footaged. You know, there's, well, come on. It happened.
Of course it did.
A former Starkey student just texted me giving you an A-plus as a teacher.
Yeah, they had fun, and we learned
Well,
a lot.
Fun is good.
Yeah.
I think that's a big component of it, especially coming from well-respected, legendary figure like you.
And the key to it all...
That's why they raised tuition, because Joe Starkey had to get paid.
The key to it all, Bob, is to get their attention immediately, whether it's a social media age or back in 1940 when Ron started. You got to get their attention immediately. Whether you're doing a video or whether you're writing a story. And you know what my best lead of all time was?
Tell me.
Limits, you'll like this story. Tony Dorsett was in town much after his playing career. Love talking to Tony. But you know how sometimes you have these interviews that you only get because somebody's peddling a product?
Right.
Tony was peddling ED medication. So in addition to doing a story about what Dorsett thought of the Pitt program under Wal Harris, blah, 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 I was forced to write a little sidebar about why he was here. And you know what the lead was?
Tell me.
TD has ED. the greatest lead of all time. Would you agree, Limits?
I think I've actually heard that one, and somebody's brought that up to me in class.
It was legendary.
As a lessons on how to write a lead.
It was legendary.
That's a good one. And it catches your attention right off the bat, sells his product. You do what you had to do to get the interview. Fine. All good.
All right. Coming up, one of the most amazing sequences, and I don't think I'm overstating this, that I've seen from the Steelers regarding one particular player. One of the most incredible negative sequences. It was unbelievable that he came into the game when he came in, that he stayed in the game, and that he was removed. He was removed in the middle of a series. The whole thing was just mangled beyond belief. And it started in the pregame when Jerry Dulac reported that Troy Fotanu and Broderick Jones would alternate at right tackle. Let's talk about this disaster and the Broderick Jones situation.